we're still studying Baal or Balaam. Now in the Old Testament, the gods that they built externally are simply a metaphor for all the gods of gold and silver and hay and stubble that you have within you. And so we're looking at that and see if we can cause some destruction of idolatry and the destruction of false gods. Let's go to Hosea chapter 9. Well, chapter 8, I'm sorry. Everybody find Hosea?
No, but I kind of
like it. You can find Daniel, it's just a few pages over to the right. Chapter 8. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. It's the Sophar. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, My God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I know them not. I know it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. The calf, O Samaria, has cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? How long will it be till they attain to innocency? Once again, that's what everything is about. Returning to innocency. That's what the renewal of your mind is all about. Amen?
Sounds like kind of not judging right or wrong.
Well, it's the condition of you've lost the ability to perceive yourself. You've lost the ability to have self-awareness. That's what innocency means.
It's harder than getting rid of the judgment from anything.
You don't get rid of anything except you. This is the same scripture is in Matthew. It's except you be converted and become as that little child in that innocency, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. How long till you are you attained to innocency? And Jeremiah says, why do you gad about so much to change yourself? What?
Well, this is where I think Christ is revealed in that I don't think man's capable of this, changing himself into an innocent being. But in Christ, it's an accomplished fact. It's done. The work's finished. So there's not any.
Let's go to Romans 12. I beseech you, I beg of you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, the highest that reason can take you. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Your mind is what conforms you to this world. Your mind and your emotions are what define your idolatry. It's not a passive thing to not be conformed. It's an active thing by seeing the emptiness and vanity of all things. That is the requirement. Bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. He will not occupy wherever you are. So he's not doing anything as long as you're doing. That's the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. The letting is an action. But it's only when you've seen the emptiness of everything else. If you haven't seen the emptiness, you can't let. All right, let's go back to Hosea. Verse 6, for from Israel was it also, the work was made, the workmen made it. Therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as vessels within there is no pleasure. Vessels within there is no pleasure from God's standpoint. You can have the name of Christ on all over you. You can put it on your bumper stickers. You can put phylacteries on your head and on your hands and in your doorposts. Until there is emptying, there is nothing. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Yea, they have hired among the nations now, will I gather them. And they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifice of mine offerings, and eat it. But the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sin. They shall return to Egypt. For Israel hath forgotten his maker and builded temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon the cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. He's destroying this evil one by the brightness of his presence, but only when you're empty. It's what we studied all day yesterday. If you fill the temple with you, then you are a vessel wherein there is no pleasure. Very simple. If you're there, he's not. It's digital. It's not analog. There's no middle ground. Amen. All right. Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy, as other people, for thou hast gone a whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. The floor and the winepress shall no more feed them, shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. Again, those are all the things that are going on in your mind. You return to Egypt for your sustenance, and you haven't required it of the Lord. You go back to Babylon. You continue in cause and effect. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted. For their bread for their souls shall not come into the house of the Lord. What will you do in the solemn day and in the day of the feast of the Lord? For lo, they are gone because of the destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them. The pleasant places for their silver, nettles shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles. The days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of the fowler in all his ways, and hatred in the house of God. Excuse me. They have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeon. Therefore he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. I have found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. In other words, they were bitter. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time, but they went to Baal-peor and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth, from the womb, and from the conception. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderers. Give them, O Lord, what they will thou give. Excuse me. Give them, O Lord, what will thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For their wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the bereaved fruit of their womb. Beloved fruit of their womb, excuse me. My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him. They shall be wanderers among the nations. Now again, either these incredible scriptures have some purpose to us, or they're just something that God said to Israel. Let's go to Zephaniah. Zephaniah is toward the right, about 10 pages. Toward the right. Find it? No. Gary, what page is it on? chapter 3. Woe to her that is filthy and polluting and polluted to the temple. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the marrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I have made their streets waste that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed so that there is no man. There is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. Howsoever I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, given all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy.
I have a question. Why do so many of the Old Testament prophets sound so tormented?
Because they see what God sees. They see people in the name of God still acting and going on in the name of Baal or in the name of the Antichrist. They put the name of God on their God, on their own idolatry. They go other places other than the Lord for their sustenance and satisfaction. And that's called fornication. All right, let's continue. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. And that day shall thou shalt not be ashamed for all thy doings when thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of them that rejoice in thy pride, and they shall thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant, or the seed of Israel, shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughters of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee, or within thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. And that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even to the time that I gather you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Now the fruit of repentance is the last part of Hosea 9. But the proud can't be partakers. The proud are they that justify themselves. This is a reflection, the same, and it happened every 40 years. If you look at the history of Israel, there was renewal, and then slowly but surely, they returned to the gods of their fathers. And then there was a renewal, and then they returned for a while, and then they returned to their own iniquity. Because it's from a spiritual standpoint, they couldn't see faith because they were leaning on their own arm of understanding. But it's been the same from Cain and Abel till now. And it's always that. You must bring forth fruit necessary for repentance, or suitable for repentance. If you continue on in your own way, there's no hope. Because by yourself, by the activities of your mind, you return him to the prison deep within your temple. And that's why we set the captives free. Yeah. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Really, it means of sin or of the evil one. Well, there's a bunch more we can look at. We may spend a little more time on this and then get back to Luke, but this is so important. And I encourage you, every time they mention Ephraim or Gibeon or Gilgal, or go back and study what was going on, why they were Baal-peor, what happened at Baal-peor. Those are the places that you can see what you're doing clearly. That's why, if you believe what Paul said, everything that happened to Israel happened for our benefit, that we can see and repent and not continue in those things that they continued in. Amen? Well, let's look at that. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat that same spiritual meat, all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, or our pattern, or our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they did. They also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt or test Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my beloved, dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Let's go look at one other. Go to Revelation 14. First part of 14 is the destruction of Babylon. And then in verse 12, everybody should know it by heart by now. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. The exhortation is over and over and over in Hebrews. Don't be like those in the wilderness who refuse to enter the rest. Enter the rest. Enter the rest. Enter the rest. Today, while it's still called today, enter the rest. Enter the rest. Enter the rest. If your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye be evil or corneal or see toil or work for any reason, even the light that is in you in its darkness, and how great is that darkness. Abandon yourself, pick up your cross, and you will follow him. If you don't abandon yourself, you can't pick up the cross by definition. Can't abandon yourself as long as you think self has value. All right, that's enough. Anybody have any response? Do you see anything from all these prophets, what the prophets are saying? Heard all those things happen to them for our purpose, that we might see we might repent. Otherwise, what we do is we put a golden calf in the temple. It's gold because it's something that will give you glory or your idea. It's a calf because that was the main idol of that time. So it's a golden idol. When you have, you set it up in his temple, just like they did. If your works don't follow you, then your works will lead you. And if they lead you, then it's no longer faith, but it's idolatry, because your sustenance and satisfaction depend on the results that are preordained by your mind. So that's by definition the idolatry. It's easy to tell others to rest. Not so easy to tell yourself to rest. All right, take it, big guy.